I'm Vernon Trollier for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Ryan Court, OD, co-owner of North Lake Eye in Charlotte, North Carolina, and founder of InterWellness.
Where did you grow up?
I am born and raised in Metro Detroit, so Novi, Michigan, kind of northeast of Ann Arbor, and about due west of Detroit.
What'd your parents do?
So my mom is she just retired, but she was a librarian and librarian technician at Mercy High School, is an all-girls Catholic high school. She was a stay-at-home mom until probably we were in our teenage years, I want to say middle school-ish. And my dad was a computer consultant for Hewlett-Packard. He was with Hewlett-Packard for about 35 years. And they're both retired now. And so, yeah, they're living the dream and they're retired. Like, my mom just retired, though, this summer. They have two grandchildren in north, just right outside Ann Arbor, one grandchild in Chicago. Well, my wife and I, we only have one child right now. And so I think that the grandchildren battle is winning in the north right now. You know, and I got three older sisters. One of them lives down here in Charlotte. The other two live up in the Midwest, one in Chicago, one in Saline, Michigan. And so right now the grandchildren, it's all about the grandchildren battle. You know, you got more grandchildren towards the grandparents, they're going to stay put. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. First year retired for my mom. My dad's been retired for a couple. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works out.
You went to undergrad at the University of Michigan.
Michigan State.
Michigan State, okay.
Yeah.
How did you get from nutritional science to optometry?
I was originally a business major with a pre-med tracking, but I found out that I'd have to do an additional year to complete my undergrad. So it'd be 4 years if I had to get all the coursework for the business degree and the pre-med tracking. And so I just modified it. You know, I've always been interested in health and the nutritional science behind things, just what you consume, you know, on a daily basis, how it impacts your body. And so I pivoted and became a nutritional science major once I had found out that information. I think I found it probably sometime sophomore year. I was like, oh man, I'm pulling about 4.5, 5 years here, and I want to get out in 4. So.
Well, how did you get to optometry then?
Yeah, so originally I wanted to be a dermatologist, and I shadowed one the summer between my freshman and sophomore year, and just wasn't the right fit for me. I don't know, but you know, I'm a man of faith, and the guy I was shadowing kind of just, he was down about his profession. He was somewhat lackluster to recommend it, but also he seemed like he was just depressed about the number of years he put in to get where he is. And yeah, just kind of was like, all right, well, maybe I need to rethink things. And so I started looking at all the healthcare professions, you know, dentistry, optometry, even going like, you know, the PA pathway, or even just going DO versus MD, and really just reassessing everything. And had a really inspirational, it was a meeting I went to, it was a pre-optometry group meeting that Mark Collip was the feature speaker. He's now the dean of ICO. And he was fantastic, very inspirational, inspired me beyond measure. And I grew up going to the eye doctor and just thinking about how I could impact people's lives. Really from obviously an instantaneous perspective with their vision, but also a preventative care and preventative healthcare perspective of keeping them healthy and trying to get them in to see, you know, their primary eye care provider when things are just starting to turn with their health.
If you had had a more upbeat dermatologist that you had filed, do you think you would have gone into dermatology or?
Tough to say. I probably would have gone into medicine, you know, from the MD or DO perspective. But that was really what I had my heart set on. And I did shadow actually some primary care doctors as well. And I got mixed results and mixed opinions there as well. And so it just got me thinking more, you know, and when you're, I mean, late teen years, I think I was 18, 19. When you start thinking more, you really start evaluating all your options. And so, you know, I'm very thankful I did go down this pathway. I do love our profession. I do. I love the life I live and how I take care of people on a daily basis. And so, you know, who knows, though? I could have ended up in one of those other professions, absolutely.
How did you benefit from residency?
I enjoyed residency. You know, the reason I even went into residency was I wanted to maximize my clinical knowledge, maximize my experience coming out of school, but also wanted to keep the door open to, if I wanted to go to a VA and have, you know, an opportunity to even get a foot in the door, usually you have to do a VA residency, and I didn't. But a residency, if you don't do a residency in general, it's really hard to get into a VA or academic setting, sometimes a research setting. And so I wanted to keep my foot in the door for all of those different areas of optometry that if I didn't do a residency, I'd be an easy person to kind of say, okay, this guy isn't a candidate. And so it keeps that network open. And I will say that I became a better, practicing optometrist because of it. I came out with much more comfort from the perspective of just being able to take care of people, and obviously their eye health and vision, but just being able to take care of people on a day-to-day basis, managing challenging circumstances, not only in the exam room, but now as a business owner, but also helping people, from check-in to check-out. And so, and one of the other things I really appreciated about it, and the reason I chose ICO, they had nine other residents there during that time, and we had a few that were in the primary care space, a few that were in low vision, a few that were in cornea and contact lens, and those were the main subsets. But all those different subsets, it was really fun to bounce ideas off each other and see different clinical presentations and cases. And I almost felt like, through a lot of the different discussions we had, I was getting a little bit of everybody's different residency. So I really appreciated that and enjoyed that.
So what's something your colleagues don't know about you?
Something I always tell people is that, I come from a family, I have three older sisters. So, but I like to joke around that I live on Estrogen Island. Okay, so I have three older sisters, I have two sister-in-laws, I have my wife, and then I have my daughter, and then I have nine female employees and a female business partner. And so, I think that was just part of the way that God raised me was, hey, you're going to be surrounded by women for a lot of your life. And so, one of those guys that just kind of goes with the flow. And, I think that was all part of my upbringing, and so, I don't know if that's things that people don't know about me, but I think it's kind of it's a unique world that I live in. And, as my wife and I continue to build out our family, we joke, we're like, we'll probably have all girls, probably following the footsteps of our parents. Yeah, I still like to get out and have my guy nights and just catch up with my buddies. But yeah, the vast majority of my day to day is working with females in general. So,
What's your guilty pleasure food?
guilty pleasure would be, think something I could eat all the time. I love chips and salsa. I'm a salt guy, so love chips and salsa. Love pizza. I'm not as much of a sweets guy from that perspective, so I could pretty much eat any bag of chips and any kind of dip. Just absolutely love them, and my wife knows that, and it gets me into trouble a little bit here and there because I'll just pull it out, and it's just especially sometimes you get home, you had a long day, and I'll just have some chips and dip or something like that. And she's more the sweets girl though, so she'll pull out an ice cream sandwich or something to share with me, and so I'll have that as well. But if I really have something where I'm having a craving, it tends to be something salty.
Take that, nutritional science degree.
Right. Well, hey, you said guilty. I still try to eat a balanced diet. I do rarely actually eat out lunch. I try to bring my lunch, and I'm fortunate that my wife is a good cook, so we have leftovers or just a sandwich with a balance of fruits and vegetables and little things like that. But
Who makes the salsa?
usually we get Trader Joe jarred up salsa. We're big Trader Joe fans, so. Yeah, it's sometimes actually I can't remember the last time my wife had put together salsa, but like I said, she's a fantastic cook. So if we gave her the task, she'd be able to knock it out for sure.
How hot do you like your salsa?
Oh, just medium. I don't
Oh,
go too hot. I'm
okay.
not one of those guys that goes to let's just say like BW3s and hits up the hottest spice wings, or goes to a Mexican restaurant and wants every hot sauce. No, thank you. That's not my cup of tea.
Okay.
My mouth was not built for that kind of flavor.
What attracted you to entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I had always kind of wanted to keep the door open of, whatever division of medicine that I went into, I wanted to keep that business door open to whether it's to run my own practice or to be involved in business development for, a company within healthcare. And so I did take some business courses in undergrad just because of that. And I think over time, just getting involved, I was involved in the American Optometric Student Association as a student. I was fortunate enough to be elected president of the AOSA on the national level. during my third year, and so I was able to lead the board and had a good executive council that kind of helped me with that, and we all worked together. And so I think just getting a little bit of taste of that leadership over time and just seeing how things were ran within an eye care, but also just knowing that there is more out there to just being, a primary eye care doctor or even a specialized eye care, optometrist. I like to diversify my life. And so, entrepreneurial endeavors do keep things interesting. And, so for me over time, just getting involved and seeing different things and experiencing different things through those involvements kind of fueled my fire.
Have you thought about going the MBA route yet?
I have multiple times. And I've put that more on the back burner now that I'm a father. And obviously, I got a little one. She's almost 2 years old. And then obviously, my wife and I try not to bite off more than I can chew. I'm pretty involved still as it is, locally as well as within, different consulting opportunities and then just managing the practice and then intro wellness. So the MBA is one of those things that I think brings fantastic knowledge base, but also kind of helps fuel those that network. I mentioned earlier about the network of being involved in the doctors that do a residency. I feel like, depending where you do it and who you kind of rub elbows with really does pay off in that and what where you get your MBA. So for me, I'll put it on the back burner. I'm not sure I'm gonna get one anytime soon, but who knows?
Since you mentioned students, what are the three best ways for graduating OD students to market themselves?
Social media is the number one, right? I mean, it's something that they're already doing, on a day-to-day basis. The vast majority of them, they're comfortable with it. They kind of grew up with it. So being, forward-facing and sharing professionally and even sometimes personally, with your followers is a way to kind of just grow an audience and get involved. But, I recommend also showing up to public events. So whether it's a, national meeting or it's a local society meeting or it's an industry dinner, or it's just getting together with, some of your colleagues, inviting them out for coffee. That can really help market themselves within the profession. If they want to go ahead and market themselves to patients, do that exact same thing. But instead of inviting out, your colleagues, invite some of, some local business leaders or get involved in, different groups, whether it's, you have the Lions Club, you have, a lot of business development groups in every single city that you can kind of go ahead and get involved in. So what, number one would be social media. Number two is just getting it out there. And number three is, I guess, internal marketing within the practice would be the third for me is, as soon as they get out there and they start practicing, make sure they hand a business card to every patient. Make sure that they follow up with patients when they need to be followed up with. And, they can even send them a, personalized thank you letter. Thank you for coming to see them. But just really maximizing your opportunity with every single person that you provide care with. That is a huge and probably the easiest way for them to market themselves to the people that they're going to be taken care of. And that would be their patient base. So I kind of gave you a couple, a really a broad stroke there. There's external marketing, there's internal marketing, there's marketing within the profession, there's marketing within, their practice. But marketing is a pretty broad thing, right? So it gives students a lot to think about.
So, how did you land your first job then?
Yeah, so I was in residency at ICO and decided that I wanted to move south. I looked at a bunch of different areas across country and had actually been going to the North Carolina State Optometric Society. It's now the North Carolina Optometric Society. But started going to the NCOS meetings when I was a student and just was taking notes, meeting people, handing out business cards. And so I started reaching out to those people during my residency and networking, kind of a grassroots effort. And, lo and behold, none of those people had opportunities at the time when I was looking at coming down. So I just started looking at reaching out to people that had job opportunities posted online and just also asking within those networks, who do you know that's hiring? And so the first job that I took out of optometry residency was actually a split opportunity. I was kind of share between two practices, so part-time at both offices. And one was in North Charlotte, one was in, South Charlotte, both in the suburbs. And really had the opportunity to feel out both offices and provide care in two different areas of the city, and really allowed me to kind of get used to also practicing in a different area of the country. And so that's how I found it, though. Yeah, it was a lot of grassroots efforts, and then obviously just reaching out based on the opportunities that were proposed online. Once I put things out there, I was interviewing during my residency, so I couldn't even start till after the residency was up. So I probably could have started earlier than I actually did. Finding the opportunity didn't take too long, a couple months. But then I had to wait a few more months to actually come in and start practicing, so I had to complete my residency.
What is your biggest frustration with optometry?
Biggest frustration would have to, with the profession in general, would be people undermining the services they provide. And it's not really the optometrists that are doing it, but it's bigger corporations. I feel like at times it's a race to the bottom. Everybody's trying to give their services away for free so they can capture, a sale of a product, whether it's contact lenses, glasses, et cetera. So seeing that out there in the marketplace does frustrate me. I don't think we should provide anything advertised for free. And so when I see that, and then also see, certain things are going from a digital perspective online, and I understand that telemedicine is going to be a thing of the future. And, I think that there's opportunity there. We just have to make sure we're doing it the right way. So, just there's a lot of change that's happening over time. And so I want to make sure that things are happening the right way. And so some of the disruptive technology that's taking place, people trying to cut the line of actually coming in and getting fit and prescribed with contact lenses, is frustrating to me as well. Because, it's not being fit and prescribed by an eye care professional. They'll go ahead and maybe get a prescription renewed online and then get sent contact lenses. And seeing those kind of things, to me, especially I'm only 7 years out right now, so I got a long career ahead of me. Those are some frustrating things to see.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Great question. Yeah, I'm continuing to just, diversify what I do on a day-to-day basis. So providing care to patients, managing, optometry practice with my business partner, Dr. Rachel Rubel. Continue to build out a team of great, eye care professionals. I do some speaking on the side, and I do enjoy speaking to doctors, but also patients. So just taking on more consulting and speaking opportunities, getting involved, as I'm a family man. So I do, hope and pray that my wife and I continue to build out our family. We have one child right now. So being involved in my children's lives, assuming that we have more, being involved in my wife's life. So being a good family, family man from that perspective. So whether that's coaching or, helping tutor or whatever it may be, just helping them with their interests, their hobbies, kind of exploring things. And then hopefully continuing to just be involved in the community that we practice in and raise our family in.
Do you have any regrets?
Now, I like to think of things as glass half full. So, I feel like everything happens for a reason. You're kind of going down the journey of life. You got to kind of play the cards you're dealt and continue to maximize your opportunities without, getting down on things that you maybe feel like you made mistakes about or missed opportunities. And so for me, I don't really live with a life of regret because I haven't, like you said, it's early on, and I don't feel like I've made any major changes where I really truly regret them. But I like to kind of be optimistic about things. So, no.
Last question. We inflict this one on everybody. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
Craziest thing I've ever done. Oof. I'm a pretty boring guy. I did jump off of it was a really tall cliff into the water in Jamaica on a mission trip. I'm not going to call that crazy by any means because it was at a facility where everybody was doing it. But for me, jumping off that kind of height was pretty wild. It felt scary. It felt adventurous. I was, in my early 20s at the time.
Crazy can also mean something that is just out of character.
I asked my wife to marry me about 7 months into our relationship. As somebody who is a cross his T, dot his I, kind of, sit there and take time to make decisions and think about things, I definitely went with my heart on that one. And you know, when you know, and I love my wife with all my heart, and I knew. So I never envisioned myself in my life asking somebody to marry me in under a year, probably even in under 2 years, let alone 7 months. That is by far, if you're, we're talking crazy, that's crazy for me, who's more of a, you know, one of those guys that just doesn't, I don't make impromptu decisions or things like that. So,
Have you thought about what may be crazier is that she said yes?
it's 100% crazy that she said, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah. She said yes, and we're happily married. We just celebrated, we're 3 years in, so we have our 4th year anniversary coming up in April. And yeah, and our daughter is turning 2 and actually a week for, or a month from today. So
happy birthday to her a month early then from me.
thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, Ryan, that's all the questions I got for you today. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to.